gotta get down with the gangsters. Go ahead, girl, put some back and some makeup on it. While I stand up in the background and check up on
it.
What the fuck?
Hello, welcome to episode 53 of Thai Games Not Net Podcast. I am your host, Mr. Chupon. It is Sunday, July 8th. We're recording episode 53. I am here with your usual band of ladies, Al. Tony.
Running along in my automobile. My baby beside me at the wheel. Cruising and playing the radio. With no particular place to go. Bring it down!
Top that, Ethan.
All right, I'll top that. Bring it down!
That's how it's supposed to go. That sounded like you taking a dump.
I did. I'm really going to go and clean my fucking shorts.
It stinks in here
now.
Dump.
We have GTFO. We have a huge fucking carton of news. Uh-huh. We also got a healthy mailbag today. Every mail should have a healthy mailbag, but this one is pretty.
Reminder: this one is folks, bursting. Test your mailbags.
This one is bursting
for lumps.
For lumps,
bursting at the seams.
Bursting at the seams.
What do you call
rated
that?
Rated NC-17.
And
ball test.
Yeah, what do you call the cancer ball test?
I don't know.
Testicular
cancer ball test.
Yeah, you know, you go get your test for breast cancer. It's a
mammogram.
Mammogram.
What do you do for ball?
Ballogram.
Spamogram.
Spermogram. Testogram. Manhoodgram. I don't know.
Pantogram.
And we're going to talk about shitty consoles in the wake of Microsoft's nice new little extended warranty. In terms of when's the last time you had to turn your PlayStation 1 upside down in order to play it. But first, what are you playing? I will go randomly. Tony.
I am playing Doom 1, Doom 2. And Hexen, and I played a little bit of Heretic, and Heretic is like the stupidest fucking game that I've ever played from ID Software. They fucking, oh my god, this is such a bastard version of Hexen, and Hexen's pretty bad, but this is like fucking horrible. I can't even believe how fucking pathetic this fucking game is. Other than that, Doom 1, still scared, can't play it. Doom 2, even more scared. Can't play it. Hexen. Can't play that game because the game's very, very cheap. And, you know, it's very fucking cheap. It only has 4 weapons, you know, if you ever got that far. I played it on the Nintendo 64 a long time ago. And let me tell you something. That fucking version blew dick. I mean, it didn't even... I don't even... If my memory serves right, I don't even think it used Z-Buffer. So you saw all the pixels. And I'm like, what? The fuck, you know, how did they do that? You know, so, yeah, that's what I'm playing. Thank you.
What are you playing? Ethan!
I've been playing the old work game. Sweet.
What have you been playing, Al?
Conference 3.5. How's that revision update doing you?
He said
I'm talking to you, Ethan.
Damn, Ethan.
What revision update? What are you talking about?
Conference 3.5. Last time was the Conference 3.0.
I didn't get any conference games in at all. It's all been server room games.
Oh.
Yeah, like,
new game.
Shrinkage.
Try to image a machine. Try to back it up so that, you know, if something happens, you're okay. And in the backup process, completely destroy the partition table, but realize later that it wasn't the partition table, that it was because a USB drive was plugged in the machine, and there's no way to tell it not to boot from the USB drive, that the machine wouldn't boot because it thought the USB drive was C. And spend a few hours really freaking out and finally figuring that out, unplugging it and having the whole machine come back.
How much does that game cost? Because I really want to play it now.
What's that?
I said, how much does that game cost? Because I really, really want to play it now.
It's free. In fact, yeah? I get paid to play it.
I see. You get paid to play shitty
loser
games.
Yeah.
Al, what have you been playing?
I've been playing Pokemon Pro.
And Pokemon!
I finally finished it last week in a very epic battle. It was like, remember I was talking about that one dragon Pokemon that fucking kicked my ass. Mm-hmm. So I went back and I trained, and I was, you know, blood, sweat, and tears and shit. And I came back and I wasn't really ready, but I was like, let me try it again. So I went through and I knocked everybody else out in Elite Four, went to the champ, and I was like, bow, die, bitch, bow, die, bitch, bow, die, bitch. And it was
awesome,
like, you know, the first three were out, And then I came up to that dragon motherfucker, and I said, all right, I'm ready for this shit. I shot him with the ice shit, and he was like, oh, my God, I'm frozen. And then he died. I was like, yeah, that's right, motherfucker. And then the last two were hard. I was like, what the hell?
So angry.
It was this plant motherfucker that just like... Yeah, I'm talking like I have no idea on what these Pokemon are, okay? So I was fighting this plant motherfucker who was constantly fucking me up, hit me with poison and shit. And I was like, fuck, I can't take this. And then I had the last one is, well, any Pokemon fan will know it's Lucario. Lucario, I was like, okay, I should be able to whoop his ass. He whooped every last one of my Pokemon's asses. And then I was up to my last one, which was flying, so it was I had the advantage. But every time I would move or have a turn, he would hit me and take off like 3/4 of my health. So I couldn't do my move. And I was talking with my friend. I'm like, okay, you think I should do it now? He's like, well, yeah, why don't you try it now? Because you probably have like 3 hit points left. So I tried to move, and he hit me, and I had 3 hit points left. And I flew up in the air, and he tried to hit me again. It didn't work. Then I hit him, and I killed him. And I was like, yeah! And the crowd was cheering and everything. So now I'm finding like all the old Pokemon from the older games, and I'm doing a battle tower and shit. I got like 17 wins and then fucking lost to a fluke. But I need to get 100 wins in a row because, you know, that's my worth and shit.
Ethan, what's he talking about?
I've got no clue.
Hey, Al?
Yes?
You're my hero.
Why am I your hero?
I don't know, but I've been playing Advance Wars 2. Let's move on.
Cool.
No, I just started getting back into that. And I'm playing the hard campaign, which 2 years ago kicked my ass, and now is not. And that's it.
Ooh!
On to the news of shit. First, we have a World of Warcraft affair ends in jail. Who wants to read this one?
Oh my God.
A dummy.
What a dick.
Is that your analyses?
Austin, you read it. I mean, Austin. Al, you read it because you know about this shit.
What? I know about child molestation? No, I don't. Thank you very much.
Yes.
This is bullshit. It's the guy was 17.
Yeah, and the woman was like 35.
Doesn't matter. One more year and it's legal. It's stupid.
Yeah, I know, but he's 17.
So what?
Dude, he's the 17. Fucking man.
You know what?
He's bagging old bitches.
There needs to be a double standard here. If it's a 34-year-old woman and a 12-year-old boy, it's fine. If it's the other way around, I got a problem with it.
That's what they say here, too.
I agree. I mean, it's just stupid. Well, I have no...
Before you spout your child molestation shit, let me actually read the article. A 31-year-old Australian university student is being held in lieu of $2.35 million bail in North Carolina after allegedly flying there to pick up her 17-year-old World of Warcraft boyfriend and fly him back to Adelaide with her, Pitt County Sheriff's Official said.
Excuse me.
Tamara Broom, who met the teen a year ago in the game, told her roommate that her travel to the U.S. last week had been paid for by the teen's parents so they could all sort it out. Wow. Broom's parents say the whole thing was a setup. Broom was arrested after sleeping off an Amtrak train in South Carolina last Saturday.
Sleeping off an Amtrak train, huh?
She faces more than 2 years in jail if found guilty. To think, one more year and this would have been just a happy story.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She's kind of scary looking anyways, so... Let's move on.
Eight
figures.
Mm-hmm.
Next, this is yours, Ethan, so we'll reintroduce it. You can talk about it. South Korea taxing virtual worlds. The South Korean equivalent of the IRS has begun to charge the value-added tax on real money transactions in virtual worlds, according to a recent report. Ethan.
Yeah. I mean, we were talking about this a while ago, how the U.S. IRS was looking into it. That was the rumor. Mm-hmm. So now a country has done it. And they actually are starting tax, so it might be imminent here and in other countries.
And this is only for real money transactions, right? This is not for, like, going into WoW and just, like, trading items.
Right. But I think that the article that we talked about last time was they were looking at all of it.
Whether
or not they'll, you know, whether or not they do anything about it, I don't know. But they are looking at it because, you know, it's how do you define property in a game? That's the whole thing.
Right.
This one's a little easier, right, because it's
this
like,
is
you know,
literally
real money.
Right. Okay.
But, I mean, in the U.S., we cover that kind of now, since legislation where you have to, if there's tax or if the company has an office in the state in which you're purchasing your product, you have to actually report that at the end of the year and pay tax on it according to your own state's tax rate. Mm-hmm. Nobody actually does it, but it, at least the law is on the books.
Huh.
So, by the way, so when you guys order something from the internet, like, let's say, Newegg, and they don't have an office in New York, right, and you're getting it shipped to New York,
yeah,
you still need to pay New York tax on
it. Yep.
You need to file a form at the end of the year, itemize all those purchases, and
same
pay
thing
the
for
tax
eBay.
On all of them. Same thing for everything.
Yep.
It used to be that if the office didn't exist in the state where you were buying it, you didn't have to pay the tax, but now you do.
I thought that was always the case, and people were just sneaking off with it.
No, it was gray area. People, that was the rule was if you're buying something from some other state, you're fine. And the problem was that with the internet, there were so many of those purchases that they realized they got to start taxing stuff because a large portion of the business would leave the state.
But when did they actually do this? Because like I was saying before, like I thought that always existed.
I don't think so, but I can check right
now. I could be wrong. That's what I'm saying. But yeah, pay your taxes or something. Yeah.
Or die.
Vote
or die.
Paying your taxes, you are not.
Okay, let's see. Next news article. Last week, we were talking about racism in games, and sadly enough, this came through from Kotaku, and it's everywhere on the news, pretty much. Racist paint jobs slip through Forza 2 moderation. User-created content has been enabled in a much broader capacity with the current generation of hard drive and internet-enabled consoles and software that aims to take advantage of this hardware. This is a trend we'll see more of than less over the course of the generation, with software like Little Big Planet, Forza Motorsport, and MeCreation generating a great deal of buzz with gamers. This capability has been a facet of PC gaming for many years, spawning mods levels that rival commercial products. Sadly, there's a downside to this freedom to create. 360 Gamer takes a look at a recent example of this abuse of creativity. While many Forza Motorsport 2 paint job artists create spectacular works of art with simple shapes and decals, some are taking it into distasteful territory, and they're taking it online, adding patently offensive customized cars to Forza's auction house. In this particular case, Gamer Dreamer 61's 19, that's Dreamer 61 if you want to interact with him.
Damn, shout
outs. Mail.
Yep. 1957 Mercedes 300 SL, a car adorned with Nazi imagery and racist hateful speech.
White power!
Unfortunately made it past moderators and onto the auction house. This is a clear violation of the Xbox Live online user policy, as 360 Gamer points out. Here's hoping that publishers and console manufacturers will be swift and there is no apostrophe in manufacturers, you jackass. Will be swift and harsh with their punishment of our hobby's more brainless user-created content contributors. This is by Michael McWherter on Kotaku, who obviously doesn't know how to use apostrophes.
Yo.
Yo.
It says, right behind white power, it says, Ail Hitler. I find that funny.
I've been a black man, I find that funny.
No, because it reminds me of, welcome to Cheesy Charlie's. Ail Hitler!
Oh, man, that was
yeah,
great.
Yeah, that was a good episode.
Next cookie article again from Kotaku. EA Sports is dumbing down Wii controls. Great. Okay.
For the famo.
For the family. So the family can play Madden.
Yay.
Yeah, with just a remote. Just throwing
just
the ball.
Yeah.
Yay. Let's dumb it down more.
Let's see how they... Oh, no. I'm going to read a little bit from this. Kotaku by Luke Plunkett. AI takes over the control of the player's movements, leaving it up to you to execute decisions like passing, shooting, tackling, etc.
No!
Here's how it works for NBA Live 08. Shooting, passing, and stealing is a breeze with NBA Live's family play mode. Forget about setting up complex passing plays or worrying about the technical rules of the game and focus instead on sinking jump shots, passing with the flick of the wrist in either direction, or blocking and stealing on defense with either flicks up or down or left for... Oh, God.
You know, they should fucking release two versions. One for the actual players, and the other one called the retard version.
No. It's all in the same version. You don't have to use that. This is for people like, you know, like your girlfriend.
who wants to play it with you, but don't want to do the complex controls.
It shouldn't be on that version. But not. It just shouldn't.
Well, you can imagine it's not there.
I don't think there's any problem with including it on, because if you don't want to use it, you don't use it. There's no problem with it. My problem with it is that it's stupid.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not gonna. If I were to buy NBA Live, it's not gonna affect me. But I just think like dumbing it down. Like I'm trying to imagine how simple it would be to actually play. I mean, what happens when the person is trying to do something and his player isn't moving where he wants him to move because the AI is controlling him? You know, it's like Hello. So I don't know, but I wouldn't buy NBA Live anyway because it sucks. Moving on. Another piece by Game Life's Chris Kohler. This is just a little timeline that's interesting to look at. Sony's lost exclusives, a timeline. First, Grand Theft Auto 4. Peter Moore shocked the world at E3 last May when he announced that GTA 4 would appear day and date on the Xbox 360 and PS3. Newsweek says that former Sony Computer Entertainment's president Ken Kutaragi's radio silence on the issue left Sony's American execs without the authority to make an exclusive deal. Nothing happened. The same thing happened with Assassin's Creed, which Ubisoft has actually gone to Sony with an offer to make the game exclusive for the PS3, but because they kind of were lazy and stayed silent on it, they went to the 360 as well. Devil May Cry 4, another game that was said to be one of the biggest reasons to buy the PS3, and easily the best PS3 title available at Tokyo Game Show at 2006. A few months later, it was multi-platform with a simultaneous release date that includes Xbox 360 and the PC. Virtua Fighter 5, we all know about that, and we're going to talk about a little bit that the Xbox 360 owners get more later. Beautiful Katamari, now we're getting into the realm of games that the PS3 might have lost entirely. Beautiful Katamari was originally announced as a multi-platform release, but according to Newsweek, the PS3 version has been junked and is now 360 only. Fatal Inertia, which I don't really care about, originally announced in 2005 as a PS3 launch title, Koei's racing game, first delayed into this year, then went multi-platform. Then this morning, the writing of the article was July 2nd, then this morning it was announced that the PS3 version is delayed indefinitely.
Mm-mm.
Due to issues with the Unreal Engine 3. What's remarkable about this is that many of these high-profile titles are from Japanese publishers who have historically been resistant to the idea of multi-platform games in the first place, much less Xbox 360 games, mm-hmm. because they're Japan and Xbox 360 sucks in Japan. Moving on, more news, which is kind of dumb but obvious, we'll read it anyway. This is from GameSpot. Page will load. Page is loading slowly. Page load. Yep. Come on. Come on. Here we go. By Tor Thorsen from GameSpot, the voice of Nord. This just in, hardcore gamers are hardcore spenders. Are we surprised?
No.
No.
I don't think he is either. That's the main takeaway from, quote, Gamer Segmentation 2, end quote, the latest report from the NPD Group. Earlier this year, the industry research firm interviewed 11,638 gamers aged 6 to 44, and sifted through their responses. The result, a detailed demographic breakdown of how the estimated 191 million gamers in the U.S. buy and play their games. In the report, the NPD divided gamers into 6 different segments. Some 33% of U.S. gamers are avid PC gamers who on average play 13.6 hours a week. Primarily on PC or Macintosh, blah, 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 numbers, numbers, numbers. Main takeaway, because of 11,000 people, we now know the habits of 191 million people.
Yeah, always.
Yeah, that's how marketing has always worked, so it's just kind of funny to see that hardcore gamers are the most hardcore spenders, which I'm totally not surprised about. Moving on, Metroid Prime 3, not online. This comes from Games Are Fun. GamePro recently had the chance to interview Michael Kelbauer, president and CEO of Retro Studios, the guy is behind Metroid Prime. Though Kelbaugh didn't make any groundbreaking announcements, he did clear up a few things. Online play will not, repeat, not be in corruption. It was considered at the very early stages of development, but Retro ultimately chose to devote all the resources to the single-player experience. This is posted by Josh Freund at Games Are Fun. If anybody knows how to pronounce his name, it's spelled F-R-E-U-N-D. Maybe Freund?
Joined.
As for the one-week delay from August 20th to August 27th, Kelbaugh explained that there was never really an official release date set, just a target date. Nintendo president Satoru Iwata told Retro that he wanted Metroid Prime 3 to be at least on level with Twilight Princess, if not better. In other words, remember when Reggie said, it's maybe perfect for you, when MTV Games asked him about online games? Well, apparently it's not perfect for everyone. It's going to be perfect for single-player players, but I don't know. If you ask me, Metroid Prime is an adventure game. It's not a shooter. And I know there's like some comments on this thread here that are like, anybody who still thinks that Metroid Prime is an adventure and not a shooter is delusional. Well, you're an idiot. Who's the one who said it? I'm going to call him out now. What's the name of the guy who actually said that on this thread?
No idea.
Oh. Well, what were you going to say, Al?
Oh, people said the contrary, too. People who think that this game is a shooter and not an adventure, they're delusional, too.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, either or, it's a shooting adventure.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find this guy's name. Anyway, it's probably someone stupid on the Games Are Fun board. His name is probably NecoFrog.
I don't think he actually said that.
I don't care. He's an idiot anyways.
Yeah, that's true.
Moving on. Six Axis plus Rumble plus location... Well, it's rumored. Rumored location-specific Rumble. And let me actually describe this. This is from Kotaku. Six Axis Rumble plot thickens. Bryce from PlayStation Magazine France just dropped a line to us to let us know that the tech in question comes from a feature they ran with Rumble Maker's Immersion. Just Immersion, not Sony. So while it is indeed possible on any updated Six Axis, it's just speculation for now. That's the update to this article. The original article is this. PS Magazine France Magazine are reporting a rumor that not only will we be seeing a rumbling version of the control pad later this year, but that the rumbling will be location sensitive, with feedback not coming from just a single internal motor, but from several different locations on the pad at different intervals, settings, and speeds. In other words, triggers, thumbsticks, etc. If you're worried this will blow out the cost of the controller, they also report that the tech is less expensive to build than that of the DualShock. This actually sounds cool. Like, at first, you know, it's easy to be skeptical, but for kind of a racing game, and Ethan, I think you touched on this a little bit when we were talking about, like, Riven's question about the controllers getting more complex. We might have edited it out because we went into off-topic territory, but you were saying something about how, like, the G-force in driving isn't, like, accurately represented, and while that can, at this point, can probably not be represented truly for any, you know, any short-term point in the future, what are your feelings on potentially pressing left on an analog stick and having it kind of offer some kind of resistance in terms of, like, rumble or feedback or something when you're making a turn?
I think it's great. I don't think this will do resistance, but I think any kind of localized response, you know, enhances the ability to feel what the car is doing, which is
right.
part of the whole point.
And then you can imagine, like, you use the right trigger to push down on the pedal and left trigger to brake, and maybe they have some kind of, like, left trigger only rumble when you try to brake too hard or something like that.
Same with the right pedal. I mean, if you try to gas it up and you're hitting, like, high RPMs,
the right thing,
you know, starting to vibrate as well. I think it's great.
Right.
I think when you turn, if you're making a hard turn and you just feel the analog stick, you know, if it's the left stick or whatever that's doing the turning or the right stick, whatever, that's where you feel the localized vibration. I think that's great. Or even if they combine a number of motors so that the right side of the stick vibrates, you can feel something hitting you in the right side of the car
or something like that.
I think it's great. I mean, that adds to the whole ability to really feel your way through driving. I like driving in real life is a lot more about feel. Yeah, it's a lot more about feel than it is in a game where there's, you know, you're sitting in a couch.
Right. I'm also imagining some frivolous things that could, like, you know, that are kind of useless but are kind of cool at the same time. Like in a first-person shooter, if you're, like, sneaking through the grass, usually you use the left analog stick to move. So if you're sneaking through the grass, there's, like, a different type of vibration, like a very light, very, very subtle vibration. And if you're, like, running on concrete, you feel it more. And it's isolated to the left stick, so...
I think even in first-person shooter, the biggest one would be localized vibration on where you're getting shot.
Where you right.
You know, because what they've tried to do is have, like, a red splotch on the part of the screen.
Right, up, down,
like,
left, or right.
Exactly,
yeah, Half-Life
right?
started that, yeah.
Right, so, like, you, at least you'd, if you got shot on the right side, you go, okay, I turn right, instead of just having a flash and being like, where the fuck is the guy?
Right.
Now, if you have... Right, now if you have something like that combined with, like, a full 360 kind of degree response in the handle... So if it's, like, bottom right, then you know that he's below you and to the right. You can, I mean, I think that would work out really well.
Right. Any other thoughts, or can we move on to this semi-main topic piece of news?
Now, all we need to do is have a feedback suit. So you get shot in the back of the head, and your back of the head vibrates.
You know what? I can do that for you. We'll have you play, and then whenever you
get shot, he'll stand behind you and smack
you
in the head.
Yeah, I'll punch you wherever the shot comes.
See that joke coming.
No, see, that means I have to pay you, and I'm not doing that.
No, I'll do it for free.
Well, then you're going to have to pay me.
Shit.
Moving on, Microsoft extending the Xbox 360 warranty to 3 years.
Yay!
This is again by Tor Thorsen, the voice of Nord, and Brendan Sinclair, the voice of Canada from GameSpot. Today, Microsoft announced that it was once again revamping its warranty scheme for the Xbox 360 after mounting anecdotal evidence of the system's failure rate due to the dreaded Red Ring of Death, which is three flashing red lights on the console's front panel. The publisher is changing its warranty to cover systems affected by the Red Ring for 3 years from the date of purchase. Any console that suffers from the aforementioned failure in any territory the 360 is sold in can be returned to Microsoft for a repair for free. because the warranty also includes shipping charges. Quote, as a result of what Microsoft views as unacceptable number of repairs to Xbox 360 consoles, the company conducted extensive investigations into potential sources of general hardware failures, the company said in a statement. The three-year extension for all 360s and will retroactively be applied to every single console since the Xbox 360 launched. That means anyone who bought a console in November of 2005 will be covered until November of 2008. Peter Moore, corporate vice president of the Entertainment and Devices Division of Microsoft Interactive Entertainment Businesses, said he is personally sorry about anyone who suffered a 360 failure. Quote, "We haven't done right by our customers, and for that I apologize. We listened, and we're going to make it right." Funny thing is, if you went to GameStop and bought that extended warranty from them, you are not getting a refund.
Mm-hmm. Because that's all money in their pockets.
Yep. Retailers are probably laughing their asses off right now, which is why you should never buy anything extra from GameStop or EB Games, because they're shills and they are fucked up in the head and they want to make more money, which is nothing wrong with that, but you also want to save money, which there's nothing wrong with that either. So don't buy an extended warranty from them in case shit like this happens.
Right.
Unless you're talking about Sony, who always likes to deny that they have a hardware problem, but that's another story, PSP.
You're not saying that if you bought an extra warranty that you're not covered under the Microsoft warranty, correct?
You are covered.
No,
you just
you
don't get your money back from EB Games or
right,
GameStop.
You just wasted your money.
You basically wasted. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, basically.
Their coverage
yeah.
is useless if you're getting it for free from
Microsoft.
Microsoft so, yeah.
The only advantage I can see is if the warranty, extra warranty, covers other things other than this red ring.
Yeah, that's a good point. That is a good point.
Yeah, because I think that this, this warranty...
Can I turn in my game?
I got a purple ring. Can I? Does that cover that?
No, the 3-year warranty is only applicable to that red ring.
Right. So I thought maybe if you right.
No, you've got a good point.
No,
there.
No, wait. I thought you just said that it was
red ring.
Anything.
Red ring. Red ring.
Anything.
No.
No.
It's not for. It's 3 years for the red ring specifically because that's the biggest cause of failure. But if there's other things, I think it's still like 90 days or something like that.
Right, like you spill coke in it.
Yeah. there was a rumor that PS3 would drop in price by $100 to $499 after E3. Kotaku later confirmed this, and then President Ryoji Tsubashi said Sony has no plans for a PS3 price cut. But a lot of retailers are confirming a story despite what he said, and here's the exact quote from... Tsubashi-san. He says, at present, we have no plans to cut the PS3 price, which means at present is before E3, which is before the price actually drops, which means the day before the price drops, he's going to come out and say, we plan to drop the price, which means that he wasn't lying at all, because when he said, at present, we have no plans, that's what he probably meant.
No, he's using it's a grammatical trick, maybe. I mean, he does have plans to drop it right now.
Yeah.
Those plans exist.
But he's just not telling us.
But he doesn't have a plan to drop it right now. But he has a plan right now to drop it at some point.
Right, right. it's all marketing speak.
Ryoji Tsubashi knows English.
I make translator know English when he translates.
President, we have no plans to cut the PS3 price. He's likely probably just trying to dissuade people from waiting to buy a PS3 so that, you know. I mean,
because they need that extra $100.
If you need to drop your price, you need to give advance notice to your retailers. If you give advance notice to your retailers, you can expect the plans to be public. So stop being a dick.
Yep.
Yeah, especially since Circuit City posted it in their fucking ad.
This is what...
It's like $4.99. It's going to drop, motherfuckers.
It's going to drop, bitch.
Thank you, Jeremy, for that point when you listen.
Yeah, shout out to Jeremy. And, yeah, I mean... The price cut to $499, I mean, I always said that I wouldn't get a PS3 either until games that I really wanted come out or it's $300. But I'm a sucker for, like, impulse buying and price drops. I'm probably not going to get one, but it's making it a lot more tempting, especially with the Rumble potentially coming back and shit, and with Ratchet and Clank looking awesome. In 5 months, I still probably won't have one anyway. Moving on. Virtua Fighter 5, Xbox Live online play confirmed. This is why it probably took him 6 months to release the new version. But this is an interesting story.
Yeah.
Because, and I'll read Patrick Klepek's news article from 1UP.com. Sega and AM2 have decided to premiere online Virtua Fighter in the Xbox 360 version of Virtua Fighter 5, scheduled for release this fall. Players will be able to log onto Xbox Live and compete with any of the game's standard 17 characters or bring a customized Quest Fighter online. Quote, "VF5 is the most intense fighting experience available on next-generation consoles," said Scott A. Steinberg, VP of Marketing at Sega of America. The addition of online multiplayer support opens up the competition to a global scale, enabling players to complete blah 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 PR speak. We don't know much other than that, but the announcement is far different than what AM2 told us back in December of 06 during our cover story for the PS3 version. There, the studio was clear about their problems incorporating online multiplayer, and he quotes, "In terms of versus play, you're not planning to put the game online, but are you thinking about using the PS3's online functionalities to offer things like microtransactions?" And the studio said, "This time we're not using any online functionality in the game." 1UP asked again, "AM2 has stated many times that the reason VF5 doesn't support online play is because the experience would be less than optimal due to the latency times and whatnot. But it doesn't take a mathematician to realize that a VF5 on a home console did feature online play that would threaten your thriving arcade business, which is dominant in Japan. Why would people pay to play customized things in an arcade if they could do it for free at home online?" And this is what they said. "That's totally not true. It is because of the delay experienced online and because the environment and atmosphere of online play makes it impossible to recreate the gameplay as it is in the arcade version. And that's why we're not putting VF5 online until Microsoft paid us a whole bunch of cash to do it." Who's moving?
I got some shit going on.
You got some shit going down. That's what you
I do. I have some shit coming out.
Oh. But anyway, yeah. what do you think caused them to put this online? A money bag?
Maybe they tested it out with Xbox Live and it actually works. You know, maybe it's because PS3 doesn't have that kind of network infrastructure that they want to actually sacrifice the gameplay and do that.
And that could be the reason. I mean, having played Street Fighter 2 Turbo on Xbox Live recently, they have improved it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But it really still depends on people's connections. Like, you don't want to play Virtual Fighter with someone with a shitty connection at all, you know? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, people have reported Dead or Alive being total shit online.
Mm. Mm.
So, I don't know.
Well, it was total shit anyway, so.
Yep.
Not really.
Depends on who you're talking to.
Yeah. Listen, it was a decent game.
I always hated those games.
Yeah, well, it was a decent game. It required some technique, but not too much technique because of its stupid counter button,
mm-hmm.
which I personally hate. Mm-hmm. But moving on, the Church of England is still pissed.
Oh, what fucking crap.
They have every right to be.
No, they don't.
No,
four ways to avoid shitting off the Church of England, says Luke Plunkett from Kotaku. For all of Sony's groveling and bowing and further groveling, the Church of England can't seem to turn the other cheek. Instead, they're still so upset about the whole church-resistant gunplay fiasco that they've clambered up in their pulpit and issued the four following commandments designed to ensure the developers tomorrow avoid the mistakes made by Insomniac developers of the present. 1. Respect our sacred spaces as places of prayer, worship, peace, learning, and heritage. 2. Do not assume that sacred space interiors are copyright-free. 3. Get permission from the faith leaders who are responsible for the building interiors you want to clone. 4. Support the work of those engaged in resisting the culture of gun crime and those involved in promoting the work of conflict resolution. Church of England, just relax. Come on, breathe with me. Yeah. In and out. When I need to let go, I think of a way. Okay, whatever. This guy's... Yeah.
Thou shalt shut the fuck up. Just unbelievable. Okay, so we got to get special permission to just do anything church-related. Anything. So, anything. However, we could do games that featured, Empire State Building, Statue of Liberty and stuff. But we got to get permission from the church. You know, if we want to put, like, the cathedral in fucking downtown Manhattan. Okay, yeah, makes total sense. I'm going to blow the game just because I don't want permission from the church. Fuck you! This fucking sucks.
Moving on. Kids like M-rated games.
No.
I'm very surprised at this. Yeah. Perhaps unsurprisingly, the results from a study showed that most boys and many girls played games that the ESRB had rated M, signifying that they were for mature audiences only. Mm-hmm. Of the games played by the boys, Grand Theft Auto and Halo were in the top there, and GTA was also second most played by girls. Over half of all boys agree with the statement, "I play electronic games because I like guns and weapons." On the other hand, over 60% of boys and girls agree with this statement, "I play electronic games because there's nothing else to do." Wow.
You know, I kind of have experience with this.
Kids are fucking retarded, too.
Well, yeah, they are. Right, go ahead, Al. But think about it like this. I spent the entire day yesterday just sitting in the house playing Pokemon, right? I could have done other things. I just didn't.
Because you like little animals.
Well, my girlfriend, on the other hand, was constantly running back and forth between the living room and the bedroom, because she was bored. So she would watch TV for half an hour and then lay in the bed for half an hour and then try and play Mario Luigi Superstar Saga for like 15 minutes.
Has she gotten past the jump rope?
Oh, yeah. She's at the end. She's at the Koopa Kids.
Continue.
And the jump rope thing actually was optional, and I directed her to where she was supposed to go. But and she's going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, talking about she's bored. And I'm like, you should get a nice game and sit down with it, because there ain't nothing else to do unless you want to do something. And then she didn't have any ideas.
China censors WoW skeletons. In a classic example of missing the forest for the trees, the Chinese government has banned undead skeletons from the World of Warcraft, insisting that they be covered up with flesh.
Yeah.
The reason? Promoting harmonious society, of course. Hu Jintao, Chinese president, has called for the action to purify the internet of anything that might affect national cultural information security or undermine his attempt to promote a harmonious society. And skeletons are so evil, more evil than anything else. Okay. Is there a comment from you, WoW Warrior Al?
It makes no fucking sense. I mean, it's a game about people fighting each other. That pretty much undermines his attempt to promote a harmonious society, so shut the fuck up. I mean, come on. Skeletons and graves? You mean to tell me that the player corpses, because basically when a player resurrects themselves, it turns to a skeleton, they have to change it into a grave?
Wow.
Because of this half-ass, stupid reason? He's the president. I ain't gonna say nothing else.
Fuck him. Moving on. We are at the main topic. We're foregoing the bag of shit today because we want to have as many people on as possible to read the mailbag and to do the main topic before I leave work. So, hot on the heels of Microsoft expanding their warranty for their broken-ass piece of shit hardware, we're talking about shitty-made consoles, and I would like to throw my hat in for the NES.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yes.
I got two hats in there. I still have an NES.
I got a dick
still
in
can't get games run on that shit.
Really?
I got a blow on it.
It's really amazing that the original Famicom was manufactured like Super Nintendo. It was a slot down. Mm-hmm. You just pushed it down, and that was it.
Mm-hmm. And the game is smaller.
Which is fine because, you know, there are few moving parts. More moving parts means room for failure. But what was the reasoning for making the NES look like it did, like in Control Deck? Because they wanted to make it look more like a home entertainment computer or some shit?
They probably wanted to make it look like a VCR.
Yeah, that was it. That was it.
Yeah.
And you know how you pushed it in, and then you pressed it down? It's like, what the hell reason was there for that? And I guess it was for the same reason. They just wanted to make it seem like a high-tech piece of shit. But in actuality, like, the springs that you push the game down with kind of, like, corroded and bent the pins that had to contact the NES cartridge. So, like, after X amount of uses, like, the springs and the pins bent so much that the game cartridge would not come in contact with the slot at all. And it was like a total fucking waste of time. That's why if you're a younger kid and you try to play an NES and you see that flashing blue screen, that's what happens. Does anybody want to share their old remedies for like trying to fix an NES cart?
Well, we know the blowing. Yeah, we know the
pretty much
part,
blowing.
But, No. There was a speed load method.
Put it in as fast as you can.
Yeah. Well, there's a fluid motion instead of like. I mean, how you're supposed to do it is you slide the cartridge in, and then you push it down with the little springs, it clicks into place, and the game should play. That's ideally how the thing should work. When that didn't work, what I would do is slam the shit out of the game forward and down at the same time until I got it in this precarious little place where the contacts were meeting.
Right.
But it was like you had to do it over and over and over again, probably doing further damage to the console and the game in the process.
Exactly.
Yeah, I got one. What I normally do with Nintendo in the games is I actually put the game in so that it's like 99% in. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then when you push it down, it kind of brushes up against the metal at the head of the cartridge where you're holding it. And I actually managed to make a better connection with that than actually putting it in all the way.
Oh, interesting.
So you pushed it in slightly and then you like pushed it down a little bit and held it there with like with a piece of something or what?
Oh, no. When I push it down, instead of it just cleanly going down, it rubs against the plastic.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Where the label flips down.
Right?
I'm not putting it in all the way. I'm not holding it back.
You just put it in barely enough so it's still sliding against the metal when you push it down.
It's sliding against the plastic.
Yeah, but the plastic towards, you know, the, towards like you instead of towards
yeah,
the...
Yeah, towards the front, yeah.
Right. Right. Okay. In
that's
the front.
Exactly,
so it rubs against the plastic.
Yeah,
the
that's
front.
Exactly how I did it. I became like a fucking scientist when it came to trying to load the game in there.
Yeah, man.
You had to
like,
so I like push it down so that it clips the plastic. You know, just and once I hear the pop and it goes down, hopefully the game will work. And then press reset. You know, and yeah, oh no, that didn't work. Okay, take it out again. Yeah. This time I'm going to shift the cartridge a little bit askew this way.
Oh, yeah,
and then
I do that too.
Push it down, and oh, it doesn't work. I'm going to take it out. I'm going to blow on it. I'm going to immerse it in water. I'm going to put it back in. And it, oh, shit, it works. Oh, but it fucking fried my battery for Zelda. Ah, now I lost all my fucking games.
Oh, man. The funny
I think that's where Tony got his rage from.
Yeah. The funny thing is that Nintendo had a specific cartridge cleaner.
Yeah.
That you were supposed
that
to use.
That was useless.
Wait. You just had a cleaner that was official that you were supposed to use because Nintendo said that you're not supposed to use alcohol.
Yeah.
It's going to damage the thing.
Yeah, what was the ingredient?
Alcohol. You looked at the back of the Nintendo cleaner. It was alcohol.
Yeah. And well, that was... It was alcohol and like one other thing or two other things, right? But it was like primarily alcohol.
Yeah, and the thing it's like the thing is though that solves the problem of a dirty cartridge, but that doesn't solve the problem of like bent
dirty
pin
boy.
Connector.
Dirty boy.
Bent pin connectors. So like eventually there's no way around it. Like it will fail like physically, but fortunately like if you go on eBay, they sell NES connectors for real cheap for like $5, and they're really easy to install. So you just open up the NES, and like the NES that I bought back off of eBay has a new pin connector in it. So it was pretty cool, the fact that it worked, and you just have to keep your games clean. Some other guy had this homebrew method that he cut a hole in the back of his NES, all right? And then he took the pin connector and like straightened it out, because basically what it is like, I don't know how to explain, it's hard to explain, but he straightened it out such that the opening where you would stick a cartridge in was facing the back of the NES. So he would put his NES cartridge in the hole in the back of the NES. So he would never have to, like, use a spring. It looked retarded, but it worked. Because
every time.
It worked every time because it would straighten and it would never bend. Shall we move on to, like, PS1?
Yeah, because Super Nintendo never had
any
problems.
Yeah, I never had a problem with that. I never had a problem with
Genesis.
Genesis
didn't have any problems. My Sega CD just died one day all of a sudden. Let's see. 32X has probably worked just fine, although they were pieces of shit. Jaguars probably worked fine, although they were pieces of shit. So let's go on to PlayStation.
I never had a problem with mine, to tell you the truth.
Really?
My PlayStation either, no.
Oh, come on.
I waited like 2 years to buy mine,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, Ethan, you didn't even own one, did you?
I have it, and it still works. Of course I owned one, you dumbass.
Yeah, mine still works as well.
I still have Andrew's Dreamcast, and it still kind of works.
Oh, my God. Kind of works.
Oh,
yeah.
My uncle's PlayStation, he got a first gen, and we used to have to hold his PlayStations upside down,
down. Yeah, that was like a rumor
and
that I never saw.
Put the game in, flip it upside down, turn it on, and that was the only way we would ever get to play Final Fantasy VII. Back when that first came out.
Actually, Final Fantasy VII was one of the... what was it? Final Fantasy VII was one of the games because it loaded so much that it actually fucked up the motor or whatever was going on. You had to turn it over and use it that way. And that's the only fucking way it would work. Ethan knows. He came over to my house when we played Silent Hill. My PlayStation never saw it right side up, ever. Ever.
True, we did do quite a bit of, like, angling to get that thing working.
Yeah, ever. So, aside from that, aside from it being a flimsy piece of shit, because I bought one for myself, I bought one for my brother, and both of them had the same fucking thing. And it's amazing that we figured it, everybody, like, figured out the remedy. Turn it upside down, you know, without even going online, without even calling on Sony and saying, what the fuck, you know? We just, turn it upside down, it works. Wow.
Yeah, and people accepted
that's
that.
That's some good quality shit. Quality fucking, whatever, yeah.
Yeah. And then there's PS2s. You hold them on the side and they scratch the disc. Sometimes you have them flat and they scratch the disc.
How long did it take for them to actually fix the console so that it didn't do that anymore? Or, like, did they have, like, a quick fix that... or something?
I don't know. They might still be doing that shit. But I think it was probably another 2-3 years because I didn't get mine until like 2003 or something like that. So that was like, wait,
wow,
7 years into the life cycle or something like that. And I got the online pack because I was really waiting for it to go down because it was like 250 and then it was like 200. And then it finally dropped down to like 149. And I got that. And then right after I got that, they come out with Slimline. I'm like, you motherfuckers.
Well, the Slimline, according to what the people at GameStop told me, overheats because it doesn't have that big compartment with the fan. And, you know, like the old PS2 did.
Yeah.
Mine hasn't, but I could see that happening.
Yeah, I can see it happening.
Definitely see that happening.
So, again, good fucking craftsmanship.
I mean, the only problem with that is that, you know, of course, common sense should prevail, and you should probably keep it in a well-ventilated place, but still, it's annoying to put up with. But now we reach the 360 where we have all this
shit.
Wait.
Yep, forgot the Dreamcast. The fucking battery for the Dreamcast.
Oh, yeah, that is a piece of shit. It was soldered onto the board so that you couldn't replace it.
Unbelievable.
Oh, that...
Un-fucking-believable.
No wonder I always have to reset the date on my thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, because once the battery died, that was it. That's your ass.
Holy shit. What's really shitty is the battery dying like in the middle of the shit can actually break your current game session.
Yep.
Now, why the fucking game won't run when it's plugged in without the battery, I have no idea.
Remember we were playing Virtua Tennis and like all of a sudden it just crashed and we're like, oh, battery.
Oh, yeah. Man.
why would it even have any, like, it's not getting enough juice from the fucking outlet. It needs that extra, you know, 2 ohms from the fucking battery to keep running.
2 ohms.
Great job.
Wait, does anybody have any problems with standard Xbox?
No, I've never had it yet.
The only things I've seen, like Red Ring of Death, plenty fucking times. On the regular Xbox, people would, just like this one, this 360, they would just turn on their thing, and it would go Christmas colors, green, red.
I never had
even
that
our
happen.
Development Xboxes at Acclaim were doing that shit.
It was probably just overheating, too.
Yeah, probably, because, you know, we would use our Xboxes 16 hours a day.
And I think that's the main cause of the Red Ring nowadays, is that it overheats. Like, you're getting repaired Xboxes that come back with new heat sinks.
Mm-hmm.
And then they kind of, like, deny that it's in response to the repairs and in response to the heating because they're like, oh, no, this is just incremental upgrading. And people are like, so are these going to be in the new Xboxes? No comment.
I think it's the size of the chip, at least from what Jeremy was telling me. They're actually making it with a smaller chip.
They're going to make a smaller chip, which is at some point. But it hasn't been implemented yet, and they're not even talking about when it's going to be implemented. They're basically keeping mum on that.
The point of that was lower heat.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Okay. So it probably is a heat problem, as you were saying.
Yeah.
I haven't seen any problems with GameCubes.
Never. I've never seen a problem.
Never.
With
never even heard of it.
I've got a first generation GameCube. Still works like a charm.
Yep.
Saturns. I haven't seen any problems with either. Charms do work very well.
Yeah. Not champs.
Not champs.
Right.
Champs work, but this one worked like a charm. Saturns, I haven't seen any problems with Saturns either, which generally say that they're pretty good pieces of equipment as well. You can replace the battery in that when it dies.
Yeah. But the funniest thing about this 360 problem is that some tech support people have suggested wrapping it in a towel. This is old news, but like, if you wrap your Xbox 360 in a towel and then turn it on, it'll work for like a few hours. Just for a few hours. And I think the reason for that is because the Red Ring comes when it's overheating, right? That means that something's fucked up with the heat sinks and the fucking thermal paste or whatever. And that when you wrap it in a towel, it overheats so much that it melts the thermal paste and makes it more conductive.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the real reason. I think that's what I heard. I could be wrong. Someone correct me if I'm wrong. But it's just bizarre.
Next remedy.
That
put it in your oven.
Bizarre.
Yeah. No sense.
Daddy poured Robitussin on it. Put some tussin on that box.
Leave it out in the sun on the roof.
Red Ring Robitussin. Red Ring Robitussin. What are you going to say, Ethan?
Jesus Christ.
That makes no sense. That because like thermal paste would be more in a liquid state, it would be more conducive. That doesn't make any sense.
Well, the thing is, the thermal paste is supposed to work where. If you put, you know, very little bit on and you don't overdo it, when it gets hot, it spreads out throughout the entire chip and then passes the heat to the heatsink. So I'm guessing, and this is probably like one of those weird, stupid things where it's like, well, if you do it more, it should work better. So it's like if you make it hotter, then it makes the thermal paste even more thin and liquidy.
But then it would drip off. It would reharden, and you cannot keep doing
that.
Yeah,
exactly.
You do it.
I mean, this is only working for a few hours at a time anyway, and like,
I'm
instead of wrapping it in a towel, just give it back.
And it breaks the thermostat.
Oh.
So it ignores the warning.
Maybe.
here's the newest remedy. You buy a portable freezer, put your Xbox in the freezer, play it that way.
Yeah.
Then it won't overheat.
Yeah. Should we move on? Before
no.
It
yeah.
has to go?
Yeah. I haven't seen any PS3 things.
Not yet.
No, I haven't heard anything. Just like
no,
on the,
no Wii problem. Well,
just like before they released
Wii
it,
problem.
Yeah. Ethan brought it up that it was like overheating too.
Yeah, they all do it. But anyway, shall we move on to the mailbag before our comrade the Dreads has to leave for work?
Yes.
Yeah.
Dreadlock.
Damn it.
We are at the mailbag, and Al has a request to read the funniest ones first. So, Al, why don't you read the funniest ones first, then?
Mailbag!
Okay, we're going to start with Slunks, because Slunks has got, hands down, the funniest email here. Yep. So he goes,
this is, by the way, this is
a
response to last week's episode, which is about racism in games, and he's just joking with us here.
Yeah, it's pretty much like stream of consciousness type shit. So he goes, China Warrior on the Wii got a 1.5. Jew's not a race either.
Jews.
Theodore Roosevelt's breakdown should be released on
and
the Wii.
He purposely misspelled Theodore Roosevelt because he knew
Theodore
that we misspelled
Roosevelt.
Theodore Roosevelt.
Roosevelt. Then he goes, if I tell a black person that he shouldn't jump too high or he may get stuck in the ceiling, is that racism or statistics? He goes, Austin needs to never read A or his review on his bag of shit game ever again. That's cheating.
I read what I want.
and then just out of nowhere he goes,
just
like
Hiroshima.
Hiroshima.
And then he accepted the TalkXbox.com editor position.
Oh.
Austin's private message convinced me to email back.
Congrats.
And then he says, my name should be Ooga Booga Booga Magaga. Wait. Actually, it's more like Ooga Booga Magagega.
Ooga Booga Magagega.
And then he goes, black people are huge. I'm not exactly one of those huge black people, though.
But I wouldn't put the emphasis on the words "are" there. It's really just another stream of conscious statement.
It's just like
huge.
Black people are huge.
Yeah.
Okay. And it goes, Warcraft 3 is a highly popular professional game that Asians typically play for a living, much like Starcraft. I wish Ethan, Al, or Tony had a 360. That way we, you, all can play together. When $400 falls in my lap, I'll buy one for Ethan. Tony and Al have to do special things.
And notice that's because Ethan's white and Slunks is white. And Tony and Al
thank
are
you, Slunks. That's right, son.
That's funny.
Keep the minority
goes,
down.
I need to go
finally
to the bank.
He says he needs to go to the bank. Yeah. Okay, thanks, Slunks.
Yeah. Thank you, man.
Good luck with that.
Let's see. Let's go with comments. There was a comment here. His fourth 360.
This is from
died.
L. Allen. Okay.
L. Allen 06. His fourth 360 just died, so he got an Elite, hoping that it would actually last longer or actually work. He was wondering if we thought that it would last.
Well,
at
I'll
least
tell you
it
what.
Served
I mean,
well.
Although there are so many stories of broken Xboxes and shit, like the real statistics, like if you look at it, it's like. There, like when they said it's a vocal minority, that's really what it is, and that's not to diminish the problems of the machine. Like, you shouldn't have as many failures as it's having, but at the same time, it is still a minority. So you probably have a good chance of this Elite working. So you shouldn't worry about it. I will say though that it's not using the smaller 65 nanometer CPU chips, so it will have the same, you know, kind of potential for failure. But again, that potential is maybe 3%. And just realize that with 10 million Xboxes out there, 3% is a large absolute number. So I think you should be doing fine with this. But now that they have this warranty policy, check with Microsoft on if this extends to Elites as well. And you should be fine. But which email do you want to read next, Mr. Dre?
So we got a message from Aiden. Here's a quick review of our podcast.
Oh, thank you.
The TryGames.net podcast provides an entertaining and often humorous hour and a half plus of engaging, thought-provoking content straight from the horses.
You calling us horses, you racist bitch?
Mouth. Or wait, or in their case, the duck's spiral vagina.
Yes!
Oh,
yes!
Nice.
No, you mispronounce it. It's vaginal.
Vag-star-star.
Vagin. Vagin.
Vaja.
Vagin.
Vagine.
The vagine.
Like the vagine. Next one, Al.
Let's see. Looking at how well the DS Lite sold, which is from Bold Axis. Looking at how well the DS Lite is doing in sales, do you guys ever think that handhelds will ever overcome consoles in every area?
Every area.
Every area. No. Unless handhelds are able to have like 42-inch plasma screens,
or unless consoles get really tiny.
I think the key here is just the fact that like whatever can be done awesome small, there is a better version of that out there, like large, like in a PC and a laptop. Right, you can have the most powerful laptop in the world, but there will be a PC that it was based out that it was based off of that will be more powerful than it, simply because. You know, physically, when you have more room to put more transistors on a processor, you're going to have more power inherently. That's what I think. I mean, from an engineering standpoint, someone please correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm not an engineer. But that's generally how it goes. I think they will get good enough such that at some point in the future, people will be hard-pressed to say, like, you know, oh, I'd rather play this on a console because it will look better. Like, I'm sure that handhelds would reach a point where they look like, you know, Xbox 360 games. I mean, but the question is, like, now, do you want to play it on a small screen or a big screen? And that's where it kind of gets tricky, where it's like, is it really better than a console? Like, just because you can take it anywhere, do you want to take that anywhere? Do you want to be playing this hardcore RPG, like, in a car with a tiny screen? Or do you want to play it on your couch with a big screen? So it really depends on what people's tastes are. But in general, no, I don't think they will overcome consoles in every era, but they will be competitive. And I think that they will be the... They will end up being the bigger moneymaker.
The only other thing I can think of is if the viewing device like goggles that can
good point.
You know, get when those get really
good, point.
Good then maybe.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Mm-hmm.
We just have to figure out like
just how not to make it like the Virtual Boy.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Do you have time for one more question, Alfredo, or must you go?
Actually, I have time for more.
China Warrior 1.5.
China Warrior 1.5. Okay. From LSH925 Steelers.
Oh, no, there's Ish. Ish.
Oh,
from
Ish
Brooklyn.
925 mm-hmm. Steelers.
Ish from Brooklyn.
Okay. Who's from Brooklyn?
Ish from
what?
Brooklyn.
Yeah, Brooklyn. Really? Yep. Sweet.
It's a capital I.
Go Brooklyn.
Brooklyn.
As always, great job with the podcast. My question is, what do you think is next for the gaming industry? Let's say 10 years from now, what do you believe hardware and software developers need to innovate video games? Do you even believe innovation is needed? Does the traditional way games are played justify strong longevity? Basically, what are your predictions and expectations for the future of video games?
Oh, shit, this is a tough one.
That's like a that's like fucking next week's topic.
Yeah, how about we do this for the topic next week? We'll do this.
That's a good question. It's just big.
You have to wait till next week, though. Sorry, buddy.
Okay, one last quick. From the FM Squared.
CJ Hope.
He's the guy that sent in. Yeah, CJ Hope. He's the guy that sent in the boy and his blob and the crazy PlayStation ad.
Yep, remember you guys.
He sends a recommendation to us. How about we have the listeners send in a game they think belongs in a bag of shit or deuce? Or colon sweat. And this would allow more interaction from the audience. And he knows he would send a game in every week.
I think
just thought that was a good idea.
It's a very good idea.
And you should send in bag of shit for each one of us. Like something retarded you heard us say.
And then we could. Oh, no, not that. But we should be able to read reader bag of shit sometimes.
Absolutely.
When we run out of bag of shit for ourselves.
I will say,
definitely.
I will say that
we need
make sure
it.
That they are really, really shitty shit. Not like, oh, I hate Halo, man. Like, they got to be bottom of the barrel. Fucking like Pac-Man on the Atari, like Tony was talking about, bag of shit.
Or like a lot of stuff from
THQ.
Shit.
Or like fucking
old THQ.
Roger Rabbit or freaking Dick Tracy.
Yeah.
Or like which guy looks best in a dress.
That's stupid.
Yeah.
Sure.
If there was a game
or
like
LJN.
That.
LJN.
Oh, LJN, Back to the Future. Oh,
X-Men.
Anything LJN.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
I think the time has come for us to say goodbye to our dreaded one. Al, yeah.
Oh,
have fun at work.
Al. Yeah. Al. Right.
Bitch.
I know.
Have a good time.
All right.
Good
time. Peace, Tony.
Have
peace,
a good time. Later.
Peace, Bryce.
Bryce?
Yeah, he changed his name from Touch of Thunder to Bryce, the breakdancing vagina.
Bercy.
Yeah. No, yeah, Percy. And then I said, Percy.
Vagina.
The breakdancing vagina.
I got a juicy vagina right here.
Ew. Peace.
All right, go quick before you're late.
Later, dude.
Okay, so just wanted to read one more email from Aiden before we actually hit this last email question. Aiden very kindly sent us a list of topics that we should talk about today. Unfortunately, we didn't pick these because we ended up just doing the shitty consoles, and we were cut short.
Right.
But we will definitely keep this in the bag for next coming weeks. And so you guys can look forward to perhaps one of, if not more than, this list from Aiden. One, what effect will casual gaming and the Wii have on the gaming landscape? That's actually a really good one that I want to talk about at some point. Flash games and their impact on gamers. You know those free Flash games on Newgrounds and shit?
Yeah, like...
Yeah. Three, religion and games. Fuck Sony, he says. Four, past, current, and emerging game genres. That's going to be a difficult one, but that's also a good one. Five, modifications and their effect on games, like hot coffee.
Right.
Six, E3, what you're excited about, what you want to see, and your predictions. That's always a good one, though. I will say that I think the only reason why we wouldn't do this is because every year people just make guesses, and it's always the same shit. So, but, I mean, that's always a popular topic, and at some point, you know, after not doing it for years, maybe we'll do one. And seven, cheating in games regarding spanning from, you know, game facts and walkthroughs to actual, like, hacking Halo and, like, doing moon jumps and shit. So
Tony is the king of that.
Oh, please, bite my ass.
Tony cannot play a game without cheating.
You're out of your fucking mind. I don't cheat. Listen, I only cheat when the game sucks. I mean, totally
Tony's
sucks.
Very upset because he says the computer cheats.
Oh,
so
it
he
does.
Needs to, you know, equal out the score by cheating, you
Listen,
big pussy.
The computer knows exactly what it's doing to me, okay? It knows, all right? So if I get angry with it and I want to cheat, that's my own prerogative.
Hey, not for nothing, Ethan. On Street Fighter, that shit cheats a lot.
No, I'm not saying anything bad about cheating. I'm just saying that Tony's a pussy, and I have every right to do that.
I'm gonna be. There's only one reason
Get
why
it
he
out.
Says I cheat all the time, and that's because he cheats too. Okay, every time we have a new Silent Hill game, what's the first thing you rely on, Ethan? Oh man, we need more ammo.
No,
that.
no, that's
yes.
what you say.
No.
You're like, all right, let's start it over. No, I'm always the one who wants to play it on hardest with no cheats, and you're always like, no, let's play it on easy, and let me get unlimited shotgun shells, and I'll just blaze the game shooting everybody.
You done?
Shut the fuck up.
No,
you done,
I'm not fucking done.
Moving on to the next question.
Wait a minute, Singing Pirate, who the hell is that?
This is from Wutex, who sent in a Pirates vs. Ninjas entry last
Seriously,
week.
Wutex totally sounds like, you know, a tampon.
Latex, Wutex, Tampax. This has been something I've been wondering about a lot lately, and I'm curious to know what you think. I like to play classic games. I make it my business to try and play games that people consider to be the greatest ever made. As such, I recently purchased a Sega Saturn. Good man. Good man.
Nice.
It should have happened sooner, but good man.
Good job.
To play games such as Dragon Force, great game. Garden Heroes, great game. Panzer Dragoon Saga, great game. And as you probably know, these games are expensive as heck. So here's my question, though. I don't use emulators because I like playing the game in its true form. I was wondering when you believe the use of emulators is justified. Though we can all agree that pirating recent releases is unethical, what about arcade games that are nearly impossible to find a machine of? Or rare games that raise a price to higher than the company intended? Or import games that were never released in your region? Do you think any of this should be looked at as okay? And since it's illegal anyway, what should the companies or consumers do to make these games more available to the masses? Also, on a somewhat related note, does anyone know how the region protection works on the Saturn? Will I have to do anything special to play an imported copy of Radiant Silver Gun? I mean, besides selling my kidney and liver to pay for it. Answer the last question first. Yes, there is region protection, and yes, you do have to. You would probably have to buy an import Saturn, because... I don't know anything about the mod chips. They do exist. I don't know anything about them. And I think at this point, the market is so dead for Saturn that you're probably shit out of luck. but I don't think that you should have a problem finding an import Saturn for cheap because I got an American Saturn on eBay for like $30 and it came with like a whole shitload of games, 99% of which sucked, which included Street Fighter the Movie, the game.
Oh God.
But yeah, I mean, I got that on eBay for $30.
Right.
An import Saturn probably can't cost that much more. I could be wrong. I'm taking a guess right here without looking on eBay, but I mean, even $100 is kind of reasonable when you're talking about, you know, a console that's dead and rare and, yeah. You know what I mean? So maybe...
very reasonable.
Yeah, it's not that bad. And as far as emulators go, I'll put my stance on it. It's really tempting. And everyone always thinks that, oh, well, it's, you know, these companies make so much money off of it, or, well, I can't get this elsewhere. It's not justified. I'll say it's not justified in the sense that it's just not legal, period. There's no way around it, no ifs, ands, or buts. It's illegal, you know? I mean, that's the bottom line. If you're going to use emulators, the basic thing that I can tell you is suck up to the fact that you're going to be committing a crime and just do it if you're going to do it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think it's...
The same advice follows in rape.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, Christ.
Yeah, in other words, don't rationalize about it. Don't make up excuses, and don't
just get it done.
Yeah, exactly. You know what you're
just
doing.
Take the pants off and just go.
Take a hand puppet. What'd you say?
It's actively like and severely harming a game company that is like kind of almost out of existence now, and whose property is, you know, just kind of floating out there on the internet and to download it? I don't think it's necessarily harming them at that point in time. No. But it's still illegal, and you could still get in trouble for it. And that's, right. You know, the most important thing to remember. Like, forget about morality and shit. Like, do you want to stay the fuck out of jail? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so stay the fuck out of jail. You're running a risk anytime you let your IP address be known to whatever you're downloading. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I will say that, you know, it's very tempting, and sure, like... it sucks that these games aren't available anymore. I'm just saying that if you choose to go down that route, be prepared to accept the consequences. If you want to talk about different definitions of okay, seriously, because I mean,
starting down a slippery slope.
Yeah, you really are. I mean, I'm not going to condemn anybody for it. Like, if my friend started saying like, oh, I downloaded the Super Metroid because I couldn't wait for it to come out on Wii. I'm not going to, like, necessarily condemn him for it. I'm going to call him a pirate, and I'm going to say, well, you just broke the law, and you know that shit's... I'm like, you know that shit's going to come out, so you better pay them for it once it does come out, otherwise you're just an asshole. I'm sorry. These people make games. They should be paid for the games that they make. That's the bottom line. If you enjoy the game, you pay for it. If you've downloaded the game and played something, if you choose to emulate, you download a game, and you, I mean, play the shit out of it, when it comes out in a version that you can buy, you better pay for it. Otherwise, you're just a fucking pirate. Yeah, you're just a pirate.
That's why you don't. It's a story. That's why you don't rape women.
Oh God, please!
Back to rape. It's
okay,
wrong.
Okay, let's
people.
Get off of that.
Don't
right,
do
very
it.
Good. Anyway, what it comes down to is it's pretty much the same reason or the same rationale why people would buy a pirated movie
or download music
because. Yeah, or do that. I mean, because you know, I'm tired of paying $10 for a shit movie. At least if I buy something for $5 and it's a shitty quality movie of a shitty movie, you know, I'm not too taken.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Not only that, people just in general are tired with the way the movie business is going anyway. There's no originality. There's no. There's nothing out there. I mean, there really is nothing. So they're like, yeah, I'm not gonna fucking go to the movies. I'd rather sit in my house and see a shitty copy and wait for it to come out on DVD eventually. Right. You know, then they'll buy it. You know what I'm saying? When it comes to game companies, like,
well, before you continue, really... let me also interject that when you say $10 for a movie, and then it's $50 for a game, so the incentive is even bigger there.
Well, no, that's what I was getting to.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I was getting to say, you know, let's bash EA. Come on, bash EA. For instance, they bring out their what is it on the 360? The one with the fucking Burger King guy in it.
Fight Night.
Fight Night. Okay, so for $60, I get to play a game that has blatant advertising in it, and probably not much else. You know, nothing really innovative. It's just
actually,
you know,
that's not true with Fight Night. Fight Night is actually a very good game. That's a bad example.
I don't know that much about it, but
I'm telling you about it.
I know it has the Burger King guy in there. So am I going to pay $60 for a game for that? No. Okay. Even though I don't know anything else about it, that just seems very unreasonable to me. You know?
Are you saying you? Wait. But are you talking about you personally, or
yeah,
like
personally.
People who download games?
No. Me personally. If they had an emulator for that and stuff like that, I would actually be tempted only because I'm not going to pay $60 for a game that has blatant advertising and a game that I don't know too much about if it's going to be a worthwhile investment. So it would seem very tempting to me, you know, and I'm just speaking, you know, for myself, but I'm sure there are people out there that share the same views. If they're not sure about something and they don't want to spend an exorbitant amount of money for it, this is probably the route they're going to go. All
right. Yeah.
That's a different moral question, and that's about whether you think that if game companies don't offer trial versions, that you believe morally they should, and if you morally will buy a game if you try it and then like it on an illegal version, you'll actually buy it. So, and that's a separate moral question, and I could actually agree with that. That's fine. I think that everybody should be like required that they let you try it before you buy it.
I'll say this, though, as far as this specific example goes, like for someone who wants to pirate specifically Fight Night, I mean, so fucking what the Burger King guy is in it. Like, in 10 years, then that type of pirate will pirate every single game. Because I'm sorry, in 10 years, there's going to be advertising. I'm not going to like it, but, you know, suck it up. Like Ethan said, it's going to be there. That's why game reviews exist, and that's why Xbox Live does have downloadable demos. So people have no excuse to pirate that game.
True.
Really, they don't, unless they just don't have the money and they want to break the law. Right. Now, in terms of emulators, that's a different question because we're talking about games that have lapsed and games that aren't released today. Like, let's say, for example, buying a Commando on the NES, right? May not be able to find a copy in the mom-and-pop shop. Your NES is broken, blah, blah, blah. So let me just download it. Again, it's against the law, period. There's no way around it.
Well, actually, if you bought the game already and you can't play it because the device is broken or the game broke, it may be illegal to play the emulated version, but it's not. It's a different moral question. You've paid for a license to play that game.
Oh, no. I'm saying the fact that it's illegal. Like, that's why I'm saying I was continuing my whole discussion of, like, how the word okay is a slippery slope. Like, I actually, you know, I think that if you have paid your due diligence, found a game and paid for it, and somehow you can't play it, that's different. I think that is different. Just don't get caught because, again,
well,
you still are
thing.
Breaking the law.
You know, in this day and age, they actually have a, you know, video game company that does release all these, you know, pretty much all the old games. GameTap. You could buy GameTap.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's exactly.
And if they have the game you want, there's no excuse to go to none.
That's a very good point. I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, none. But you know, in this day and age, there are outlets that you can do which legally have this, you know. As far as just downloading it because it's, you know, lack of availability or like for instance arcade games, okay? There are literally tens of thousands of arcade games that you probably want to play. The problem is, if you buy them individually, you're going to have a mansion, okay? There's no way to do that, okay?
Yeah,
virtual...
Go to an arcade.
Stupid. Aside from that, you know, because arcades are really going down. There are arcade places around that are just closing because there really is no market anymore. It's not a big thing anymore. It really isn't.
Yeah. Dave and Buster's!
Yeah, but those we're talking about the old classics, you know, the shit that was actually good.
Right. So
like nowadays, all you gotta fucking like on games. That's it.
Yeah. Anyway, you know, when it comes down to that, there's a very good reason to try to get like an emulator, and that's because one, you don't have to deal with the space. Two, they don't have the games out anymore, and if you wanted to go through somebody, it's going to be some, you know, video game outlet center that probably charge you an arm and a leg. You know, I don't know. But to me...
Well, but that's what Austin was saying before. Yeah. I mean, if the game isn't out, if you can't play it...
Right.
And you find an emulated version...
Right.
It's a different moral question again.
To me, I think it's totally unreasonable to play Pac-Man in the arcades for 50 cents. Totally unreasonable. Totally. You know, so if you wanted Pac-Man that bad and you're tired of paying 50 cents for it at, like, you know, at some, you know... place that has this video game, that might be a great incentive for you to get the emulated version.
But that, But that's still that's a moral problem because
well, that's
you're
the same problem
to...
that I had with the you know from before. You know, I'm just
no. But the Ms. Pac-Man one or Pac-Man, if you don't think it's worth 50 cents, mm-hmm. but you want to play it really bad, mm-hmm. that's the term that bothers me because if you want to play it really bad, then it is worth.
Then
50
it's
cents.
Worth 50 cents.
If it's not worth 50 cents to you, don't play it. If everybody else also doesn't play it, they will drop the price because they won't make any money.
Unfortunately,
the market
I don't think
it.
They will drop the price anymore.
Then they won't make money. They will drop the price. That like the company will operate under the assumption that they want to maximize profits. Mm-hmm. If nobody plays that game because it's overpriced, it'll drop to the market price.
There are also several different avenues to play Pac-Man in like Namco collections and museums and shit that like that when you factor out the cost of that if you go into like a GameStop right now and try to find like a copy of Namco Museum and maybe it's like I don't know I'm pulling this price out of my ass but let's say it's like $5. Mm-hmm. $5, you get like a zillion, you get like, I don't know, like 10, 15, 20, maybe even 5, but a whole bunch of different Namco games right. you pay $5 for that you play forever. Right. So spend the $5. Right. I mean, don't fucking go breaking the law and getting yourself into trouble.
Also, skip a lunch.
Skip a lunch.
Or like,
oh man.
I'm not sure about arcade. For some reason, I remember that, and I could be wrong here, but. Somewhere I heard that Atari had released a lot of its games out to the public domain so that you could emulate them.
Really?
Oh, cool.
I could be wrong. Don't go downloading games. Research this first. But I do remember something about that. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know about arcade games. For some reason, I think I heard about that as well. Little disclaimer here before we continue this discussion is that emulators themselves are perfectly legal if they, as long as they don't include copyrighted content from the actual machine, right? So
or foreign games.
Huh? No. I mean, like if you code an emulator from scratch mm-hmm. and you reverse engineer it, mm-hmm. it's legal. If you go and you find the actual code that powers the machine,
right.
or like emulate a chip. Of the machine, like literally, like how it was designed.
Oh, right, okay.
That's taking the copyright of their blueprints, and that's illegal. Mm-hmm. But
I'm not sure that's right. I mean, even using the name is a copyright infringement.
Oh, that's a good point. That's a good point. Well, if they don't use the name, they have to use some certain kind of.
Yeah, I mean, you could be like, this is Dac-Man.
Yeah.
And
well, no. But Ethan, no, not Pac-Man. I'm talking about the emulator itself, not the
game, the resulting game.
Not the ROMs, not the games. Yeah.
Okay.
The emulators themselves.
Yeah, I guess.
Although, if you came out and you said this is an Atari emulator, you're not saying it's an Atari.
Right. Oh. So, yeah, I mean,
but isn't that like stealing?
Because you're coming right out and you're saying this is an imitation. It's like Hike sneakers instead of Nike.
Yeah, but there's
sort of kind of. But.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how that works. It's a good. We should look it up. We should check it out.
Emulator. Yeah, but emulators have always been legal. There has been no dispute about that. No one has ever tried to bring down an emulator. Like
right.
Actually, a post-production note: Sony threw several lawsuits at an emulator named Bleem. Which caused it to cease operations. Bleem. Look it up.
Because they knew they couldn't win. Unless it was like, and there are some PlayStation emulators and Neo Geo emulators that actually do use the real BIOSes from the actual hardware. Those are illegal.
Right.
Let's talk about your specific question, Wutex, about paying up the ass for these games. That's just... Well, first of all, having researched emulators... Mm-hmm. The Saturn emulators that are out currently aren't going to do you any good. They are shit, I've heard. Mm-hmm. I haven't used it, because when I was actually researching this, like my computer couldn't handle it at the time, so I said forget about it. I looked again recently for the purpose of this question, and they haven't made any advances. Mm-hmm. I don't think you're going to get a competent Sega Saturn emulator for at least a long time, if not ever. So you will have to settle for buying these games and playing them on your Saturn. And plus, these are CD games, so if you're going to get to play them on an emulator, you'd have to download an entire CD image, which is like how many megabytes of data, and how many people host those things, right? So that's going to be hard to find. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you just got to pay up. That's all I can say.
This was like he just created a fucking main topic.
Yeah. Yeah. Though, I mean, I should say that he just said he likes playing a game in its true form, and he would never use emulators, and he was just asking us why.
Right.
So, I mean, but I was just saying, like, in general, like, you're kind of shit out of luck anyways, even if you decided to go that route. I will say that if you can manage to not be a prude about things, which sometimes I am, like, I want to have the jewel case and everything. But if you can, like, find it in yourself to not have to have a jewel case for everything that you have, I'm sure that you can find like caseless and manual-less copies of these great games. I saw a copy of Radiant Silver Gun in a Chinatown store with like just an empty jewel case. It didn't have the original cover and the manual. And it was, this is expensive. It was $75. Whoa. But Radiant Silver Gun goes for, oh, I don't know, hundreds of dollars on eBay.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Well, that's much, yeah, that's wow. a much better option. So, and it's a fucking great game. So, I would definitely pay $75 for it. I don't know if I'd pay $200 for it, mm-hmm. but I might. If I'm feeling frivolous and I get rich, I would buy it for $200 to have the whole copy. But any other remarks on this that you guys have on, you know, emulation and stuff?
No, I think we're good.
You emulated out?
Dick.
Dick?
Dick!
Mega dick.
Mega dick. It's a mega dick.
That's the name of a product in one of my junk mail folders.
Oh, wait. We have a last-second mailbag entry.
Oh, shit.
This is from Eddie's 99.
Maybe he's listening to it now, in the future.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, this is Eddie's 99. Yeah. Hey, TryGames, do you think that even with the PS3's huge price tag right now, will it become as successful as the PS2 did in the last gen? In my opinion, I think it will do just fine. Mm-hmm. What do you guys thought?
Eventually, it might. I mean, once the price drops, once they get better games. Right now, it's a piece of shit system. I would not pay that amount of money for it, you know, it doesn't have that many games out on it. And
exactly,
you know, and I just have a thing about buying a system that comes with a movie and not a game. I'm sorry. I just have that. That's my biggest pet peeve about the system, you know, so.
Especially considering it was Talladega Nights.
Fuck Talladega Nights.
I think that was only for like the first X amount.
No, I understand. Consoles. But even if it came with Spider-Man, it still would piss me off. You know, it's a game system. Give me a game. You know, especially that the game's $60. Give me a game. Give me anything. Give me something. No movie, though. You know, so...
A movie something. You're racist against movies. Ethan, what are your thoughts?
I think that it depends on how you define, like, as well. If he means market share, I don't think it will.
Yep.
I don't think PS3 will ever have the market share that PS2 had. Mm. Xbox and Wii are too powerful. In terms of, like, revenue generated, maybe, but... I think there are a lot more factors involved. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think the bottom line that the question is asking is, like, is it going to be as successful in terms of its dominance? No, absolutely not. Will they make money? Sure. But I think they learned a lot of lessons with this release, and they'll adapt for their next release.
I think I'm pretty much in line with, you know, both of your comments. A, the price drop, that would help it. Two, it will be successful, but it won't be dominant. I think, so Eddie, you say, I think it will do just fine. That is probably what I would say as well, just fine. I mean, really, you've got a powerful brand here. They still pretty much own Europe. Well, Wii is, and it was selling pretty fast in Australia, as we were talking about last week. The question is of revenue, Ethan, that you brought up, and that's an interesting point, is they're taking... I think they're, and I could be wrong, someone look up these numbers for me for next week or something, but I think as far as revenue is concerned, they're probably losing a lot more money per unit sold than they did with the PS2, and than they did with the PS1, and that they're doing with the PSP. I know that the new jack console business is all about selling your console at a loss and selling it for profit on the software side.
I was just going to say, want to make a distinction between revenue and profit. So they are making probably more revenue than they ever made on PS2. The problem is that.
Profits. I'm sorry. But as far as the software sales are concerned, now you've got so many pieces of software cross-platform. It's going to be harder for Sony to actually build up on their, you know, on their software profits, only because a lot of people who have Xbox 360s right now are going to say, "Well, I can just get this game on the 360. I don't need a PS3 to get it." Grand Theft Auto 4 coming out day and date with the PS3 version. Yeah. Devil May Cry 4 coming day and date with the PS3 version, and on the PC. Virtual Fighter 5. Well, yeah, they came on PS3 first, but a lot of people want to play it online. A lot of more people have Xbox 360s, and at the time where Virtual Fighter 5 came out, right now the market share of PS3s in the U.S. compared to the Xbox 360 is a lot smaller because of the Xbox 360's head start. In Japan, it's a different story because the 360, I don't even think the 360 has broken, like, 500,000. I can check that right now. But I know that... The PS3 is creeping up on 1 million. And the Xbox 360, which released a long time before the PS3 in Japan, is doing like shit. It's really sad, actually. It's kind of pathetic. Edit this out while I find the actual numbers. Here we go. Edit back in. And I found the numbers right here. 950,000 units of PS3 sold in Japan to date. 383,000 units for the 360, and that has been out since 2005.
They really hate that system.
Yeah, and so if you want to talk about a shift in the balance of you know, PS3 coming back to dominance, it's probably going to happen in Japan. The problem is that it's so enamored with Wii and DS that it's like, do they care anymore? And this is what I've been hearing, and if there are any listeners who live in Japan or know the Japanese market out there, please fill me in. But for a long time there, they were saying that games were becoming stagnant in Japan. And like the new graphics and all that shit really didn't impress them that much. They were more about the simple things, and they were just getting tired of that shit. That's why they always flock to Dragon Quest, because they know what Dragon Quest is like, and they're familiar with it, and blah, blah, blah. Or that's why they started flocking to the DS when the DS and the PSP came out. And, you know, against all odds and against all like common sense, you're like, oh, these graphics are better on the PS3. These graphics are better on the PSP. Let's buy that instead. No, they're buying DS and Wii. So in Japan, even, the PS3 might do fine, but it might not dominate like the PS2 did. It's still too early to tell, though. You never know. But I'll tell you right now, the Wii is on pace to sell about 18 to 19 million units in 5 years. And PS3 is on pace to sell, I don't know, maybe half as much. So, I mean, like, you tell me what that sounds like. But to me, that doesn't sound like anywhere near dominance.
No, it can't be. There's too many other players that are doing really, really well. And you're right. I mean, this is exactly what you were saying before. The biggest problem, I think, is that it's not distinguished itself from Xbox 360 enough, in terms of quality or in terms of game, you know, number of games out or greatness of game. Nothing. Anytime I look at games I want, I can get it on other systems. So why would I spend more on something that doesn't offer me more?
What Sony has to start doing, I think, is pimping out its first-party software a lot. They have to start showing a lot more of it. They have to start getting people excited a lot about more of it, because I think that while the gaming media in general, like the hardcore gaming media, one up GameSpot, all the type of shit, well, they're excited about games like Lair, you know. But do you guys know what Lair is?
No.
There you go. I mean, we're talking about these two guys here who do follow games. They don't know what Lair is. Sony, I do know, but that's because I'm like reading 1UP and GameSpot every day. They have to reach out to those other people who might like these games, but don't, you know, necessarily read up on these sites. They're going to have to expose their first-party studios. They've improved vastly since the shit PlayStation 1 days when they were cranking out crap like... Fuck, I don't know. I forgot what that game was. Legend of Dragoon? And like then they put out God of War. They put out Shadow of the Colossus. They put out Ico. Those are good games. And the, you know, those are games that people like. So they got to start putting their resources into that now. They basically have to turn into Nintendo. Nintendo's thrived on its first party. Their third party was shit until this generation, and they've been saying, well, you know what, we're in last place, so we got to keep on giving our fans what they want, our great first-party software. And Sony fans now know that Sony Studios are doing well. They just have to now start selling well. Shadow of the Colossus, I don't know if that sold well. I really don't. I don't think it did, actually. It only started selling well when they put the whole player's choice $19.99 price tag on it, you know, and that's kind of sad because even though I gave that game, like, you know, a 3 out of 5, it's still very worth playing, and it's you know, a remarkable piece of art, you know, if anything. So Sony just has to start doing that, and regardless of whether or not they do that, I think they'll be just fine, as you say, Eddie, because, you know, enough people like Sony. I don't think it'll ever dominate. Mm-hmm. I think maybe they have to regroup and think what they have to do with the PS4. They definitely, no one is down for the count. These companies are too big. They're too successful in the past, and they have too many cards. Like, this is not Sega, where they're constantly losing money and constantly alienating their fan base with the 32X and the fucking, you know, Sega CD and then all that shit, you know, and then coming out with the Dreamcast, like, half a month after, like, the Saturn comes out. No, it's not like that. So they have time, and they have these resources. It just might not happen this generation. Any other thoughts?
Nope. Got to move on.
Nope. Couple of housekeeping bits. One, listen to the Game Slaves radio podcast at gameslaves.net or gamespot.com/users/RYVVN.
/stained.
Stained! Two.
No bag of shit this week?
No, because we have to cut it short, remember?
You skipped it, you fuck. Wake up.
What?
Dumbass.
Idiot.
What?
Dumbass. Two.
Stupid.
Pirates versus Ninjas contest. Don't forget to enter that. We actually have 20 entrants now. This is healthy. If we go for another week without seeing any more entrants, I think 20 is a fair amount, right?
Yeah, sure.
For random drawing for $50 at this point?
Yep.
Okay. Mm. Yeah, so we'll probably close it off if we don't get any more entrants next week. So enter now or
get that shit
hold
in
your pieces of shit
like I do.
and third, still listen to the Gamers Lounge podcast even though they still haven't gotten past episode 2. Come on, guys, make another episode. People want them. And that's about it. Remember, you can send your questions to where?
Let's see.
Try again.
Austin Showers at pp.net.
Wow, that was so funny. Tony,
he
wasn't
liked
that
it.
Funny?
He fucking laughed. That you know what? Don't spread your hate, Austin, all right? That's funny shit. Yeah, keep highing me. I'll just fucking keep kicking you in the bum, you bitch. I'll fucking kick out of battles any day.
Yeah, because dudes are the military part of the world. Nimble just to come over and go to
the... Yeah.
For Al.
What's up?
For Ethan. For Toner. I have been your host, Mr. Choupon, and this has been your Try Again Another podcast. Hey!
I got a juicy vagina right here, baby. Just take the pants off and just go fucking to it.
Whatever can be done awesome, small, there is a better version of that out there, like large, like
mega dick. It's a mega dick.
Get it out.
Once I hear the pop. Oh no, that didn't work. Okay, take it out again. This time I'm going to shift a little bit askew this way, and then I'm gonna push it down, and oh, that doesn't work. I'm gonna take it out. I'm gonna blow on it.
And the last two were hard.
I'm gonna immerse it in water. I'm gonna put it back in. Oh shit, it works.
Bowed, bitch.
Turn it over.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's right, motherfucker.
You know that shit's gonna come out.
Totally sounds like, a tampon.
Turn it over. And immerse it in water.